You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:30pm with Sean Quinn, Rory Delaghi and Craig Forsyth in the studio. We've got a Sunday of jumping domestically with Fontwell, Kelso and Uttoxeter. There's also a very good day over in the Curragh. It's Irish 1,000 Guineas Day there, so we'll have a look at some of that action as well. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good. We'll start with a bit of news, as we usually do, before we move on to Sunday's action. And we'll start with a chat about the Derby. We found out that Golden Horn will be ridden by Frankie Dettori.
Yes. Jockey's merry-go-round looks like Buick will have to sever his connection with Golden Horn. Mojito was going to be Frankie's ride. Not confirmed a definite runner. And they'd probably relate him anyway, wouldn't they, to ride Golden Horn. So, yeah. It's good for Frankie anyway, and I was very impressed with him at York. I know the owner has got reservations about him staying the trip, but he travels like a relaxed horse, and
he wasn't stopping at the end of the Dante, was he?
He certainly handled the track, so he's got to go.
Yeah, so Frankie's going to be on Golden Horn. Buick will end up on Jack Hobbs because he's now owned by Godolphin. And like I say, Mahit, if he goes, we'll need a jockey. So
Richard Hughes might be free.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be a bad last Derby ride for him, would it?
I thought
he ran well in the Guineas. I think he'd be well worth to try the trip myself. Mojito, but nothing went right for him in the Guineas and still finished eighth and not beaten far. So anyway, it's all to play for, isn't it?
It is. Just spin through the betting. Golden Horn, who still needs to be supplemented, but will be, is 2-1 at the top of the betting. Elm Park, 5-1 with Jack Hobbs. 6-1 for Zorak. 12-1 for Giovanni Canaletto. Hans Holbein is 12s. 20s for Kilimanjaro. And 25-1 are bigger prices for the others. Just looking at my Heat's price, he's 33-1. And another one I want to talk about, Mick, Storm the Stars, who's also 33-1, still in the Derby. Won the Cocked Hat Stakes on Friday.
Yeah.
Although the talk is more of him being a ledger type.
Yeah, and I think he's a backward late developer, and I think the demands of the Derby at this stage in his career will be detrimental to him, and I think it's extremely unlikely that we'll see him. He does look a good staying prospect, though, doesn't he? And, come the back end, it'll be a different proposition, but it isn't long since he broke his maiden at Leicester than that. At Goodwood, another quick run would probably just tip him over the edge, I would have thought. So they'll probably take it nice and softly with him.
Yeah. Although, given that he got within a head of Golden Horn last year, his form does stand up, I suppose.
True. Yeah. Mm. But they're just talking about him as a big baby, and big babies
don't win the Derby.
I know.
Fair enough. Any other news caught your eye, Mick? I mean, one thing I want to mention is Balthazar King. Good news is that he's okay and he's back at home with the owners, on the owners' farm, with his stablemates Rocco de Farge and Patisse. So good news about him.
Absolutely, yeah. It's been a long haul, hasn't it, for him? And he just wondered if he was going to be okay. But that's great news that he's back home. Probably. Retire him now, won't they? And
well, they're talking about him going to Cheltenham next year. They're ruling out the National, I think, though, because their wives won't let them send him, which is funny. But I'd like to see him back around at Cheltenham. He loves it there, doesn't he? So.
Yeah. Well, if he's okay, as long as he's okay. I just thought maybe after the trauma that they've gone through with him, they might have said, enough's enough, but the horse will tell him if he wants to go again, won't he?
Yeah. Apparently they want to chase the record because he's won 8 races around Cheltenham and the record is 9, going all the way back to 1930s, so he deserves a record like that. He's been a grand performer, hasn't he?
He does, yeah. Oh, well, let's wish him well in his recovery, and And whatever he does, if he comes back, I hope he does get the record.
Yeah. Anything else got your eye, Mick?
Just sort of really, it's sort of that countdown time, isn't it, to the Derby and to Royal Ascot. So we keep seeing the odd nice two-year-old appear. So some nice two-year-olds at York last week, who I'm sure going to feature at Royal Ascot. And plenty to look forward to with the flat race season now getting into top gear.
Mm. Yes, well, we'll move on to the next instalment of the season. There's no flat racing domestically, though, unfortunately. So
yeah,
we're going to look at the flat action at the Curragh. Good card to look forward to there. And a couple of jumpers domestically. And we'll get Mick's thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we'll start with the action at the Curragh. We'll start in the 320, which is the Tattersalls Gold Cup, a Group 1 contest over a mile and a quarter. It's for 4-year-olds and older. Betting on site headed by the Grey Gatsby, who's 11-8, 5-2 for Al-Kazim, 11-4 for Postponed, Fascinating Rock 9s, 20s for Parish Hall, and Highly Toxic is the 66-1 outsider. Kevin Ryan was saying he feels the Grey Gatsby's been getting a bit of undue stick in his career, Mick. Do you think he wins this?
I think he'd certainly win this. You see, that's the trouble with these horses who beat these so-called stars. I mean, Knight of Thunder never got the credit he deserved for winning last year's Guineas, because he had the temerity to beat Kingman and Australia, didn't he? And it was all about them losing rather than him winning, which was, you know, he's in the same boat as the Grey Gatsby because he beat Australia, and he. It's a strange perception. It's a horse race, you know. On that day, that horse beats that horse. Give him credit for what he does. You know, don't make excuses. Say, well, this, that and the other. It happened on that day, didn't it? You can't turn the clocks back. You can't rewrite history. It happened. Mm. And just get over it. And the Grey Gatsby, well, I wouldn't if I was Kevin Ryan. I'd just look at his record and say nothing. I wouldn't get upset about it. I'd just, you know, onwards and upwards.
OK, how do you see the race going on Sunday, Mick?
Well, there shouldn't be a crawl, should there? Because Postponed, one of his main rivals, he is a main rival, isn't he? It looks a Group 1 horse in waiting, doesn't he, Postponed? And a very solid improver throughout his three-year-old career, won the Great Voltiga at York over a mile and a half. He's coming back in trip here. And a good return at Sandown, when just beaten by Western Him. Did make the running that day, and they might have to do that again if there's no guaranteed pace in the race. Strange that Ballydoyle aren't represented, isn't it?
Yeah.
Huh? Very strange. They usually have a mighty one and about four pacemakers, but no sign of any of them. Anyway, I think the peasants of Postbourne should make sure it's a true run race. The Great Gatsby won the French Derby, bidding to keep his unbeaten Irish record intact. Won the Irish Champion, of course, last year, and an excellent reappearance at Maidan in March over a trip short of his best. He's the one they've got to beat. Good to see Al-Kazim coming back to something like his best. He's won 4 Group 1s, 2 Group 2s. He's won 9 of his 21, back to his something like his best, winning that launch on Group 2. On his comeback and chasing home Cirrus de Zegel in the Prix Ganay. He won this back in 2013, but he's too close to the Grey Gatsby for me in the betting. I think the Grey Gatsby's odds on show for this, not an odds against. Fascinating Rock, found out twice in Group 1 company in the Epsom and Irish Derbies, but firmly back on track this season and worth another try at this level. That's about it, really. Grey Gatsby will win, and something will chase him home.
Do you think it will be Al-Kazim, James Doyle back on board, which is a positive?
Yeah, very much so. And the form is in, yeah. Although I do respect Postponed, who won't go down without a fight.
Mm. Okay, moving on to the big race of the afternoon in the Curragh. It's the 3:55, the Irish 1,000 Guineas, a Fillies Group 1, over a mile. It's obviously for the three-year-olds. The market headed by Found, who's 2-1, 11-2 for Boca Bacchiata, 7-1 for Kissed by Angels, Plishak is 8-1 with Radara, Malabar is 9s and 11-1 or bigger prices for the others. It's interesting with Found, Mick, obviously has a high reputation, disappointed in the heavy ground last time. So
it's all doom and gloom, isn't it? I just can't get over this. You know, She was a top-class two-year-old filly, no doubt about that. Because she comes back, first run of the season, still got her winter coat, doesn't like the wet ground on her season reappearance. And shock horror gets beat. Isn't tailed off last. Finishes a close second. But just get over it. She's got bigger targets to come, hasn't she? And this is the first of them. Look at the form of the pre-Marcel Boussac. Aveda's been unbeaten since, including a scintillating win in the French Guineas. What more do you want? You know, I just don't get it at all. It's she's certainly the one to beat on that evidence, and this ground will suit her a lot better. It's a good renewal, though, of the Guineas. The Jesse Harrington pair you spoke about, Booker Bacchiato, has been well back this week. She stays further than this. She's got her stamina proven. She hasn't got much to find on their debut run with Found. She was only beaten a length and three quarters by Found. And she's certainly got first rate each way claims. Jesse's other one, Jack Naylor, Richard Hughes rides, needed her debut last year, but has strong form in the book, giving her stable a very strong hand. And she's got a victory over Legatissimo and Together Forever to her name. So she's no back number either. Jorlea, Dermot Well trains, Pat Smullen rides, absolutely bolted up in a Goran maiden, and could be anything. This is probably going to come a little bit early in her career, because I just don't know how much she'll have learned in Goran, because she never came off the bridle, did she? But she's obviously a high-class prospect. Kissed by Angel, stable companion of Found, won the 1,000 Guineas trial in Leopardstown, which is always a good guide to this. She's going to go off at a price that isn't commensurate with her chance. She's going to be a lot bigger than her chance would suggest. She's definitely got claims. It's a really good renewal with some good betting each way options. We haven't even mentioned Plescat, the Jim Bulger horse, who improved each start and has got high class form. Both starts at three. The stamina's proven. Dropping trip, no problem. And she's another one with a chance in an open race. I just love that pre-Marcel Boussac form of Found. I think she's going to be very hard to beat. I think she's a worthy favourite. But there's plenty of each-way angles there. Boca Bacchiata, Jack Naylor, and Pleshcash. All of those, you wouldn't be at all surprised to see them hit the frame. But I'm going to stay with Found.
Okay. Found for Mick then. I do think, I agree with you. I think Found will win. I am also interested to see how Boca Bacchiata gets on, because finished ahead of Diamonds and Rubies, who's now prominent in the Oaks betting.
Absolutely.
Last time at Navan.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, top class form. Yeah. It is. Yeah.
Okay. Bit of jumping next, the 4 o'clock at Fontwell, and this is a class 3 handicap chase over 3.25 miles. It's for 5-year-olds and older, and we'll start here with good old Fruity O'Rooney, Mick, who's admirably consistent, the 12-year-old, and he's more informed than most of these.
He is, and he loves it here, doesn't he? He's won 5 and placed some 4 other occasions here at Fontwell, and he's actually £3 lower than his last win, and he comes into this on the back of a good effort at Wincanton last time, reunited with Jamie Moore. Good to see Jamie back. And I think, looking at the opposition, he's going to be very, very hard to beat. You've got First Fandango heading the weights. Tim Vaughan's horses are in quite good nick at the moment. He's won fresh in the past, hasn't run for 143 days. He is £2 lower than his last hurdle-winning mark, but is £14 higher than his last handicap win over fences. So it's just a slight concern there that he's going to have to probably be on his A game if he's going to win that. King Cora, a bit of an enigma, this horse. Never going when a beaten favourite. He was toxic last time after getting back to winning ways at Market Raisin the time before, and never went a yard at Utoxeter. The handicap has totally ignored that run, which could be significant. He's hard to win with, though. He's got a modest enough strike rate, but he's still only 7. So he's certainly better than he looked at Utoxeter. maybe that brake, he just got a bit rusty. I don't know. The well-handicapped horse of the race is Ballybuff Quarter, trained by Nick Mitchell. Now Nick Schofield rides £9 lower than the last win. More bad runs than good ones in the last 9 months, but very well handicapped. And there were signs at Exeter last time that the new yard may be able to coax him back to his best. That was quite a promising start to Ballybuff Quarter, and I think he might prove to be the biggest danger to Fruity O'Rooney, but I think Fruity O'Rooney might just be able to nick another one at his beloved Fontwell.
Fruity O'Rooney for Mick there then. The final race we look at is the 5.25 at Kelso. This is the Class 3 handicap chase over 3.25 miles. There's a field of 12 of them here, Mick, and plenty with chances.
Yeah, and plenty of these will be on nodding terms out the start, won't they? They meet quite often in the North. Beeves, Lord Bendyfool, Jack Purcell's Bridge, all that come here with good, solid efforts. We'll start with Beeves, trained by Donald McCain. Henry Brook taking the ride back to something like it to the last twice. He was rated 140 at his best, although he never managed to win a handicap of a mark that high, but still respected here. And he gets £3 for 1.5 lengths with his conqueror of last time, Lord Brendy, who's £7 higher than his last win. Both of his career wins have come here, which is in his favour, but he just is now going into new territory off a mark of 1-2-1. Full Jack, trained by Pauline Robson, James Reaver taking the ride. He's £6 better off with Lord Brendy and £3 better off with Bees for their course and distance running last month. And another solid effort at Perth since then. And went second to Ballybrays. I wouldn't be surprised if Full Jack might be the answer to this. Purcell's Bridge, another one with a good solid profile. Rose Dobbin trains, Graham Waters taking the ride. Solid performer around this mark. The handicapper left him alone off 1.17 after that second at Perth in April. And another one with a chance, as is old Benny's Well, one of my old pals, who is off the same mark as his second at Sedgefield last time, which suggests he's holding his form well. Competitive mark if his recent hard races, because he never has an easy race, Benny's Well, haven't left their mark. But he did hold his form well towards the end of last spring before he went for his summer break. So maybe a last hurrah from Benny's Well. And I'll go with him each way in a wide open contest, Mark. And I haven't even mentioned the bottom one, Buddy Love, who was an excellent third from out the handicap at Cheltenham in April and can run off a proper mark now. She's getting weight off all by one of the field for Nigel Twiston Davis, ridden by Son Sam. So it's a wide open contest. You could expect so for the money. Good prize money on offer. And they've got a cracking field for it. But I'll stick with my old pal, Benny's Well.
Okay, Benny's Well for Mick there. Then let's just have a quick summary as always, Mick, if you'd spin us through your selections for Sunday one more time.
Yeah, in the 3.20 in the Curragh, I expect Greg Gatsby to get his season up and running here after that excellent reappearance in Maidan and keep his unbeaten record in Ireland going as well. In the Guineas Classic, the Tattersall's Irish 1000 Guineas found two-row form in the pre-Marcel Boussac, already been boosted by a classic-winning runner-up. And with that run under her belt, she's going to take some beating in that Curragh 3.55. Over at Fontwell, Fruity O'Rooney's back to his happy hunting ground of Fontwell, where he's a five-times winner, and he's £3 lower than his last winning mark as well. Jamie Moore reunited with him. And the final selection of the four is in the 5.25 at Kelso. And Benny's Well has been a model of consistency throughout the winter in some fright heavy conditions as well. We'll probably appreciate bouncing around off this better ground and can put this one to bed before he goes away for his summer break.
Superb. Thank you very much, Mick. Good luck and enjoy it on Sunday.
Will do, Mark. Thank you.
There you go. The thoughts of Mick Norton on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. Sean Quinn, Rory DeLaghi and Craig Forsyth will be the trio in the studio. We've got Fontwell, Kelso and Uttoxeter domestically. We'll also squeeze in the best of the action from the Curragh on Irish 1000 Guineas Day. It should be a good day. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.